Amen. Well, I want to welcome everyone that has joined us this evening and those that are listening around the world through our internet. And I'm here tonight with Pastor Tim and myself, and we're going to share something that has really started to stir some things up, I guess, in the religious sect.
Yeah.
And some of you might know about I want to say, great man of God who gave his life to the gospel.
Through the call, yep.
In Christianity. And his name is Billy Graham. And he held tremendous amount of crusades and brought tremendous amount of people to a place at that time, I would say, to maybe the journey of salvation.
He introduced salvation.
Salvation.
He was an introducer of salvation.
Uh-huh. So it was like a call.
Correct.
Based on the Crusades. But he made a name for himself and really had an impact around the world. And through his journey, understanding in the gospel and seeking God with all his heart, he began to receive revelation, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And the revelation of the truth, the knowledge and the truth of,
God's love.
Yeah,
His
God's,
mercy.
God's love, His mercy.
And even the divine nature that's within us.
Yeah. So we have a little video, but I don't know if you're going to be able to see the video, but we can actually turn it on and you can hear the volume of the actual segment of Billy Graham speaking about the revelation of the gospel message that is really, I truly believe, meant to be spoken now.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't meant to be brought out then because there was a lot of persecution that came in when he began to start confessing the revelation of Christ. But, he endured the persecution and, I guess went back to the traditions of what he was saying in the past.
Towards the end of his life, he amassed so much persecution from Christianity because they felt that he was a heretic for coming against Jesus the man as far as through salvation through Jesus. And if you're walking in his shoes, I mean, he ministered to 218 million people. That's how many people at these crusades he was ministering through his whole life. And, he preached Jesus pretty much all his life until I think it was back in his 80s. He came to a revelation knowledge of God's love that, salvation comes through accepting Christ, the spirit of God. Christ, the divine nature. And people from the Christianity aspect thought he took out Jesus the man and wasn't giving the credit to Jesus the man. And really, if you really look at it, salvation is through Christ, and God is the one who saves.
Yeah.
And we're talking spiritually speaking. We're not talking about a person or a man or, something in the natural.
I mean, We received some persecution in the church just alone in the reference of just proclaiming that Jesus is just a prophet.
Correct.
Correct. There's a big conflict about him being the Son of God and all that, but what made him the Son of God is him receiving the nature of Christ, which is a piece of God. And I believe that everyone needs to begin to mature and grow in the gospel message. And one of the things that Billy Graham spoke about was that salvation is for everyone. You don't have to be a Christian to receive salvation. And there's everyone out there trying to convert everybody, into Christianity when the reality is it's not converting them into Christianity. It's just bringing them to the knowledge of who Christ is.
In them.
Not Jesus, the man, but Christ, the divine nature that's within us, which really, if you start listening to the message that we're speaking about, it begins to define what Christ is And one of the most important things is the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And when he began to preach in the beginning of his, I'm speaking of Jesus here, in the beginning of his ministry, his main message was changing the way you're thinking because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the kingdom of God is Christ.
Yeah.
It's the dwelling place of the nature of God dwelling with man.
Yeah.
And when you have that nature of Christ in you, that is our salvation on earth.
Correct.
So you could be a Muslim, you could be a Hindu, you
Buddhist.
Could be a Buddhist, yeah.
Atheist. There's atheists out there that have no awareness of Christ in them,
mm-hmm.
but they have the kingdom of God because they got peace and joy in their life. You know, and that's the whole truth is, like, even Billy Graham even stated, he's like, you know, look, there's a lot of people out there just unaware that they have Christ in them.
Yeah, I would say unaware rather than atheist, because I know atheists basically curse God. You know, there is no God.
Yeah, well, they come against the thought of there being a God. So
yeah,
I agree
and that's anyone
right.
divine and higher above, and somehow or another, their life is created in evolution and all that other stuff.
Because they're not seeking God. They just put God off to the side and said there is no God.
Correct.
Right. Whereas these other religions are saying there is a God.
Yep.
And they're seeking.
Right.
You know, they just aren't aware that the divine nature is in within them.
Right. Correct. Know? Yeah. So yeah. You know, we have to emphasize that Christ is a piece of God, and in order to receive salvation, you have to acknowledge that there is a God. That's number one. You have to acknowledge that there is a God. There is a creation higher above us that loves us and has our life already laid out for us.
Yep.
And his laws and his world lives within inside of us, which is connected to our heart conscience. I want to say our heart conscience. And this is why we say it's very important to follow that heart so that we can obtain salvation and receive the promise of righteousness, but not the righteousness of man.
Not by your works or, you know, things like that. It's
the righteousness of really obtaining the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And I believe in 2018, because we're trying to bring this message to get people more aware of the supernatural and understanding the world of the supernatural rather than the carnal world, we can bring salvation to the whole world by the simplicity of the knowledge of receiving. First of all, you didn't do anything wrong. And whether if you did it or not, it was just part of your journey, and you grow and you move on.
Yeah.
You don't condemn yourself or hold yourself accountable for it. And if you feel somewhat bad about what was done, then you have the opportunity to clean yourself
by changing the way you're thinking.
Exactly right.
Yep.
And that is considered true repentance, yep, by changing the way you're thinking. Let's play Billy Graham's segment so that the world can hear the comments that were made.
And to back up what Pastor Jim was saying a little earlier, there's a scripture verse in the Bible that God says Christ is all in all.
Yes.
He says that. Christ is all in all.
He's
so that's
in
inclusive
of
every single person, because they're born with that seed.
Mm-hmm.
They just aren't aware.
That's right.
You
and,
know?
You know, that seed sits there and it's dormant.
Correct. Yep.
Until it's watered. And how does it get watered? By the truth or the messages, you know, or the gospel message.
The gospel message.
Or the good news. See, there's so many different phrases of interpretation of God's word, but that's what waters that seed. And I want to tell all of our listeners out there that if they want true salvation, let's just water that seed and listen to the messages. Just listen to all the messages that we have recorded and in archives and downloaded on our website, and that will water that seed and literally resurrect the Christ that's inside of you.
That's the true resurrection.
That's
what Jesus was always proclaiming about the resurrection, that seed needs to sprout and resurrect inside of you.
Exactly right. Now, this is a mystery.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't expect people to be instantly awakened of the mystery.
Right.
But at the same time, you need to believe.
Yeah.
And then look at the fruit of our lives.
Correct.
And if you could look at the fruit of our lives and see that there is salvation, which is really a peace. Clean conscience of peace and joy and righteousness, yeah. and it's upholding God's righteousness and not the righteousness of man's, then you will begin to say to yourself, you know what? They have it. I want it. So I'm going to believe.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
This is a video from Billy Graham with his interview with Robert Shuler, and I'm going to start it right now. Hopefully everybody can hear this. Here we go. And start.
Tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity? Well, Christianity and being a true believer, you know, I think there's the body of Christ, which comes from all the Christian groups around the world, or outside the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And I don't think that we're going to see a great sweeping revival that will turn the whole world to Christ at any time. I think James answered that, Apostle James, in the first council in Jerusalem, when he said that God's purpose for this age is to call out a people for his name. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven. This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that.
So that was an interview that Billy Graham did way back when. It was in his 80s, he actually did this interview with Robert Shuler on television. And he received so much persecution, especially from Christianity churches. They thought that it was heresy because they couldn't comprehend. It's all inclusive, right? And like I said, that scripture verse about Christ is all in all backs up what he's saying. It's just that the problem is a lot of people don't have the knowledge or the awareness of Christ in them. And that's the gospel. That's why we, you know, we have evangelists that are supposed to be out there preaching this truth to bring people to know God and God's love and to know that there's a divine nature, there's a piece of God living inside of you, but it needs to be resurrected by truth. And the problem is the Christian world, the Christian church, is caught up in the natural. It's so carnal that it's not seeing the Spirit. And that's why they're so fixated on Jesus, and they worship Jesus and they honor Jesus. And, you know, our ministry here, we give honor to Jesus. We know that his name is above all names. We, you know, he's sitting at the right-hand side of the Father.
He overcame
the soul nature, the sin nature. He overcame it.
And he protected the kingdom of God.
And he protected the kingdom of God inside of him, correct.
And I believe correct. That's really what all of mankind's responsibility is to protect the kingdom of God.
Correct.
Because darkness is trying to rob, steal, kill, and destroy
yes.
the kingdom of God.
It wants to take it out. The darkness's job is to do one thing. It's to kill you, steal you, and rob you from salvation. It does not want you to have true salvation.
And salvation is in the kingdom of God.
It's in the kingdom of God, correct.
And without the kingdom of God, you have no salvation.
Correct. And you know what? The salvation's now. It's not when you die and you leave this earth. It's now. And that's why this message needs to get out to save people's spirits and to resurrect the spirit in them now so that they will walk in eternal life when they leave this earth.
Well, as you said that this message has to get out, in the sense that really the church needs to restructure their gospel message.
Yeah.
They got to tear down the old traditions of whatever their gospel was, even with the Buddhists and the Hindus and everybody else.
They need to get rid of it.
They need to begin to look at the more of the spiritual side of truth.
Yeah.
And bring this gospel. And I think the one of the reasons why they may not have gone down this road is because it's simple.
I totally agree. And the other aspect is the soul is in every religion, and it's duped everyone into thinking that they need to do sacrifices, that they need to do good works, that they need to do all these things to think that they're going to become closer to God. And it's so far-fetched and far from the truth, because it's really an enmity that's separating them from the love of God. And this truth now that we're speaking brings them into the love of God, because it's basically showing them that, hey, God is in you. He's not through all the good works. He's not through your sacrifices. He's not through your traditions, but he's inside of your heart, because it's called Christ. It's called that, you know, the Spirit of God that dwells inside of you. Mm-hmm. And this is what transforms you and makes you a new creation. You know, because if you're still in your works and you're still in your sacrifices, you're not being transformed. You're in self-righteousness, and you're in that pride. And that's where the soul is engulfed in that. So you're never coming out of that. You're just constantly feeding it, because you're doing all these works, you're doing all the traditions, you're missing one thing.
And relying on your intellectual.
And on your intellectual, correct.
You know,
correct.
And I think that's where most denominations and
religions.
Yeah, religions, I should say, have gone to. They're more intellectual driven rather than spiritual driven.
Right.
Because are they really leading people to the truth? Are they really leading people to salvation? Or are they keeping everyone under guidance of their laws and traditions?
Yeah, because even some of those religions, say like Buddhism, that mm-hmm. talks about, it gets into spirituality. Mm-hmm. You know, they do meditation. They have a sense of form of peace, okay, that tranquility. But basically what they're truly missing, though, is they're all conformed to one entity. Like, they're conformed to each other. You know, they got the Buddhist monks and everything and all.
Yeah.
Instead of just becoming a unique individual and having that relationship with God, it's like they all got to be that cookie cutter spirituality together.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're missing. They're missing that uniqueness. Like, if you look at us, we don't look anything alike, but we're common in the fact that we have Christ in us, and our hearts are intertwined in God.
And the joy.
And the joy.
And we're seeking the common good of the kingdom.
Correct.
We're seeking the righteousness. We're seeking the peace. We're seeking the joy and manifesting that love, really, that will, you know, hopefully rub off on others, you know,
right.
and bring them into a place of, I want to say, in a place of jealousy, because they'll say, there's something about you, and I want that, you know,
right.
And there's a peace, which means that you carry a hope, and that things seem to be at ease, and you're not anxious for anything, and you're level-headed, and yada, 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 you know, so.
And they also see that when you go through trials, and you go through difficult circumstances, that you're not constantly in an influx of worry and fear and anxiety, but they see that you're trusting in something, and we're trusting in God, and they see that it eventually works itself out, because God's working on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you're trying to do it all yourself and you're flustered.
Keep that pointed to you.
Okay, sorry. When you're flustered and you got the worry and everything, stuff starts to pile on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it never seems like you're ever going to dig out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start trusting in God, he starts to take those things off of you. things start to lift. Things start to work itself out because God's involved in it, and he's the one that's taking care of it.
You know, if you trust in God, I personally really truly believe it's a form of humility.
Yeah, it is.
And humility goes against the pride of flesh. So the more humble you are, the less the flesh lives.
Right.
So I like to even say to people, look, let's just say there is no God, okay? But you trust in God, what are you doing? You're manifesting a humility. And you're decreasing the flesh in itself.
Yeah.
You see?
Because humility, you're bowing down. You're saying there's exactly a higher
right.
power that I'm submitting to.
And you're crying out yeah. into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Help. Or basically help.
Right. Yeah.
And
but there's literally a cry within you.
Which I believe brings us into humility. And humility is really the manifestation of the power of our universe.
Yep.
It draws all of it together and brings into your desires and your heart and allows what's in you to come to tuition.
Yeah, fruition.
Yeah, yep. Fruition.
Yep.
And so when you have this life, because everybody has a life in them, we just yep. can't pinpoint exactly what your life is. But that life that's inside of you is what makes you happy and what gives you joy and what right. gives you that self place of righteousness. And that's what we're to seek. We're supposed to seek this eternal life. Not saying we know what it is, but it manifests on earth too, because it might be your career and whatever else it might be.
You know, when you come into that peace and joy, that righteousness is when you come into the acceptance. You're accepting that peace and joy that you enjoy, you know, and you're starting to see it manifest in your life. And I believe that righteousness is where you accept the fact that, you know what, I'm walking in what I'm supposed to walk in, you know,
yeah.
by the conviction or what, you know, what have you.
Well, you find it.
Yeah.
You find it. I want to encourage all of our listeners out there to find a life.
Yes.
Now, how do you go find a life? Okay? You got to find what brings happiness to you.
Yep.
You got to look and seek happiness and peace and joy.
Yeah.
When you begin to start seeking out what you want, what you think you want, you know, because you might think you want this, and then you realize you want that, you know, after you had this, but you're still seeking what you feel like you want.
Right.
You got to get out there.
Yep.
And you got to find what you want.
And don't put conditions on it. You know, so many of us, we put conditions on things. Like, you know, okay, let's say you like chocolate and a friend of yours likes vanilla. So all of a sudden, you're starting to eat vanilla. Even though you want the chocolate, you start giving into the vanilla because the other person likes vanilla.
Well, that's called peer pressure.
Right. But how many people out there fall into that trap?
A lot.
Because they're not finding out who they are because of what they want.
Or, let's say, a generation above you said, you don't want to do that.
Right.
Or you can't do that.
Right. Like, you must be a doctor. You can't be a plumber.
Yeah.
You know, and they put that condition on you.
Or how about even putting you under a religion and yep. causing you to find a certain type of religion that builds you into a lot of works.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because I've seen people in relationships break up because, say, a man or a woman might be a certain religion and they're dating somebody from a different religion
mm-hmm.
and their parents put that traditional belief on them that, hey, you can't intermingle your beliefs, and they end up breaking up with somebody that was supposed to be their mate.
Yeah.
You know, because of that peer pressure and because of the condition of that tradition.
Yeah.
And now they meet somebody else, and that marriage isn't going too well.
No. Or, you know, there are some who appoint who you're going to marry.
Yeah, there's plenty
thinking
of that.
That's going to be one that's going to be best for you, and you have to stay there with that person because we pointed it out to you.
Yeah.
And set them up since birth.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, we speak to people around the whole world, so we have to embrace the whole world and share some of the things that are out there around the world.
They call those arranged marriages.
Arranged marriages, yeah.
I've known this person and their daughter and my son are going to be together, and they're 5 years old, and when they're 30, they're going to marry. We're going to bring them together. And then they're like, well, wait a minute, I'm in love with this person, I'm in love with this person, I'm not in love with so-and-so you're trying to set me up with.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they're looking at each other and saying, well, I don't love you, you don't love me. How is God in that?
Mm-hmm.
There isn't, because God is love. There is no God involved in that.
Right.
So it's different.
So getting back with, you know, Billy Graham and his message, you know, I'm very grateful for those little segments out there, because it backs up what this ministry is bringing us into, leading everyone out there, and it does kind of become kind of like a foreign message. But if you look back in Jesus's time, when he was walking the earth, he brought this message.
Yeah, he did.
And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is the religious sects out there, said, what is this foreign gospel that he's bringing? What is this foreign, you know? And God did some wonderful things to back up, you know, because John the Baptist asked him, you know, what is it that he's saying? And he's like, well, do you see this sign?
See the miracle signs and wonders that's in my midst? Well, that's God doing it. So obviously God's with him.
Yeah, and he's backing up the message.
Exactly.
And, you know, we have these here also backing up our message and hoping and praying, you know, that you experience miracles in your own life, so that you will see that the message that we're speaking is true.
Yeah.
It's a simple gospel, but it's a profound gospel. If you can grab hold of it, you too will have eternal life. You know, I believe so wholeheartedly that we came from the fall. Well, there was a war in heaven, and that war was against the kingdom of God. So God gave us grace and mercy, threw us down on earth to be redeemed back to him.
Yep.
But to be redeemed back isn't to do good things.
Mm-mm.
And to show some faith that you love him, but the war, and to bring back that kingdom of God.
That's actually giving him glory.
Yeah, which is inside of you.
Correct.
So each and every person has a responsibility within themselves to protect, or let's say restore, and protect the kingdom of God within them.
Yeah.
And the kingdom of God within them is first righteousness. Jesus.
Peace and joy.
So you can't have guilt and shame and condemnation. You can't have those things. We were speaking about it earlier in my kitchen, you know, with some loved ones that we had in there. And I said, you know, Christ is the righteousness of God.
Correct.
And there is no condemnation, guilt, or shame in Christ. And if you want Christ to live within you, the guilt and the shame and the condemnation has to leave your being. That's the first and most
important
aspect of protecting the kingdom of God.
Correct.
Is first have Christ rule and reign inside of you. And in order for Christ to rule and reign inside of you, you cannot have any guilt, shame,
or
condemnation.
Yep.
And you know how many people are walking around with that alone?
probably 90% of this world.
And if you're walking around with that in you, you have no Christ.
Correct.
No matter what religion you come from.
No matter what you believe.
No matter what you believe.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter how many confessions you go into. It doesn't matter how many baptisms you are in.
You're not in right standing with God because you have that guilt, shame, and condemnation. So Christ is not being resurrected inside of you.
Here's something to back up what I'm saying. Didn't God forgive us of our sins?
Yes.
Did he wipe it out and remember them no more?
Correct.
Isn't there a blood sacrifice that has taken place to forgive us?
Yes.
And wash us pure as snow?
Correct.
And clean? Well, then why are we carrying it? Why are we carrying this guilt, shame, and condemnation as if something was done wrong? Yeah. And if we're carrying it, then we're not receiving the redemption.
And the grace
from God. So we're rejecting his forgiveness. Mm. And God so loved the world that he gave us this righteousness, this Christ.
He even said, I will not impute your sins against you any longer.
Exactly right.
He said, I won't do it.
So
we do. We hold it on ourselves.
And that's where the problem is.
Correct.
And he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, which is Christ. Or let's reinterpret it.
Divine nature.
How about righteousness?
Yeah.
And if we are not receiving his son, which is righteousness, then we are not receiving salvation. We are not receiving a life without sin. Period.
But it's funny because God's just saying, I want you to receive it. It's there. It's a free gift to you, to everyone, to receive it.
And this is eternal life.
Yeah.
So you have this life to live here on earth, but this is where Christ needs to be established.
Yes.
Here, now, in us, on earth, because when we leave this earth, we are judged with the Christ within us.
Right.
And if there is no Christ in us, then we are considered workers of iniquity.
Yep.
You can do all the things in his name. You can do all these things in his name. You can do everything that's supposed to be religiously correct.
But there's no Christ.
You're still a worker of iniquity because you did not receive the righteousness of God.
Right.
And Christ is the righteousness of God. How many of us just here alone are understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And you have to have it.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the righteousness of God, then you have no salvation. And to continue with this, to have the righteousness of God, to be free from guilt, shame, and condemnation, automatically brings peace and joy because you're happy that you're not accounted against this. You're not feeling bad about yourself or whatever.
I'm glad to back you up. In Revelations, it says God puts his seal, his mark of approval on you. That's because you received the righteousness of God. When you have to receive it and he puts the seal on you, it's a stamp. It's saying, well done.
Yeah.
You know? And then from there, it's our duty to work it out. We got to continue to keep that.
Those who work out, their salvation,
correct,
will obtain the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Now, let's get back to working out.
Yeah.
Now, yes, there's one thing about receiving righteousness of God, which brings the peace and joy, which allows us to enter into the kingdom of God.
But we got to hold it.
We got to hold it.
And cultivate it.
And this is very important because there are dark forces, powers and principalities that we spoke about this in January of the beginning of the year.
They're stealing it.
That are within the midst of us, whether they're manifesting through people, places, or things, they're manifesting. And they are stealing, constantly robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying that righteousness.
And that's why he said, on Sunday, you said the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent takes it by force. Because these forces are stealing the righteousness of God. They're stealing your peace and they're stealing your joy on a constant daily basis.
And this is true spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
This is what spiritual warfare really means. That you have to recognize what is being robbed, stolen, and taken away
and
from you.
Yeah.
And you gauge it by the levels of your issues. Yeah. If you are annoyed, if you're aggravated, if you're angry, if you're upset. Now listen, there are things that are beyond our control.
Yeah.
And this is where you call out upon the name of the Lord. Because he also allows angels to work on our behalf. And he goes before us. So those things that are out of our control, then we just wait on the Lord, bring our requests to him, put our trust and hope in him, knowing that he won't allow us to suffer. And then he'll bring that thing or that blessing to us that sets us free from the things that we cannot control. Like, let's take a job.
Yeah.
You see? Yep. Or something that you desire, that you want, and you can't just buy it. So it's out of your control.
Yeah.
So you call upon the name of the Lord. You call. You say, God, help me here. There's something. I'm putting my request on the table. Here it is. Now that's called intercession. You begin to intercede. Then angels go out.
On your behalf.
On our behalf. They start doing the works for us. And then you just start thanking God. Because you know it's going to come.
Right.
You know.
You know that you know that you know.
You know that you know that you know.
It's going to take place.
And you let it go. And you say, this is what I say to God. You know that this is what will fulfill me and allow me to help protect the kingdom of God. And if you want me to stand before you and protect your kingdom, because we all have a piece of God, then you will come and bring me my desire so that I can fulfill it with joy and peace. You see?
Yeah.
Because God knows the nature of us. He knows what we need. We got to live in the world. Even though we're not of the world, we still have to live in the world. So that means that you still need a roof over your head. You know, you still have to make the dollar. Here in America, it's called a dollar. And you got to still make the dollar to put the roof over your head. You see what I'm saying? It's not like little birds will come in and a roof over your head. Well, they might, you know. Depends on where your level of faith is. But but he'll provide our needs. He says, seek ye first.
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God.
Yep.
And all these things are added unto you.
So now, if we're seeking righteousness first.
Yeah.
The peace and the joy. Then anything else will be added unto you.
Exactly right. Now, I'm going to tell you why he never really labeled all these things. He just left it like this. All these things will be added unto you.
Yeah.
Because what makes, let's say, this woman here, this girl, happy, may not be the same thing as this woman here.
Right.
Happy. Right. Or it might not make you as happy. You know, or me as happy. So he says, rather than trying to label it all, I'm just going to say all these things. You see? So no matter what the heart's desiring, we're all groaning. We're all making intercession. Every one of us around the world, all of us got this in us. And that in itself is intercession.
And the other thing, too, is when you're seeking after righteousness, peace, and joy, you're putting God first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's saying, I'll reward you with these other things. Because You know how easy it is to get caught up with all this other things first before you seek the righteousness, peace, and joy? Mm-hmm. And guess what? Now you're serving false idols.
Exactly right. And God doesn't want any other idols in front of him.
Right.
And he's a jealous God. But this is where it all begins. You realize that there's something different. I used to say to our listeners out there, and I believe you remember this one, the only ones that really receive this is those that are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
It's the truth.
Yep. When you get to that point of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, I believe God begins to really start working in your life.
Yeah.
And there's a determination. Who this day are you going to worship? The righteousness has to come first. That's Christ.
Yep.
If righteousness comes first and you embrace Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, you are a child of God.
Yep.
If you don't have that righteousness,
you're not a child of God.
And you don't seek that, you are not a child of God.
Right. And you're not going to be in the kingdom.
No, it's kingdom's far
it's
out.
It's far out there.
Correct. It's not even, don't even exist.
Right. Right.
So when I hope there's pastors and ministers and leaders out there that are listening, and I know that there are some out there listening, start bringing your congregation to the altar of righteousness. Don't have them come and confess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because you're duping them.
Right. Yep.
Whatever you're bringing them to salvation, you better bring them to a place of righteousness in Christ.
So there's no condemnation, there's no guilt, and there's no shame.
Right. So if you're leading your congregation to salvation, you better lead them to righteousness.
Because, look, we've been
God
serving.
God took away our sins. Isn't that righteousness?
Yeah. Well, we've been together for over 20 years, and we saw in the religious sector, many people accept Jesus Christ, but they're still living with guilt, shame, and condemnation. They've never come out of it. So they've never received Christ.
They never received salvation.
Never received it.
Never received salvation. What is salvation? You see, you have to ask, our listeners have to ask that to themselves.
Righteousness, peace, and joy.
Yeah. Salvation is being free from shame.
Yeah. And guilt.
And guilt.
Yep.
And, of course, condemnation. Yeah. But condemnation is usually laid on you by someone else.
Right.
Making you feel guilty and, you know, or condemning you. You should have done this. You should have done that. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Blah, 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 blah. That's condemning. And, you know, those people might condemn people without even knowing, because they love and they care so much for that individual. You know, they don't know how to stop condemning.
Right, right. But they're actually doing worse than really what they're there for.
That's right. And you know who's at fault by doing those things? Is parents with children, you know?
Yeah.
And then when they get older, they're still condemning them, like, you should have done this and you should have done that. And they just can't stop treating those individuals as an individual, you know?
True, true.
Excuse me, I'm a little under the weather. Tim's going to have to pick me up.
Well, to wrap this whole thing in a nutshell tonight, you know, we started out with Billy Graham, and Billy Graham was really considered a forerunner of what we're speaking of as far as accepting Christ, accepting God's righteousness within you, and, you know, overcoming the fact that it doesn't come out of religion. You know, it's not based off of Christianity or Muslim or Buddhism. It's a matter of accepting Christ and that righteousness of God.
Billy Graham had the power, because of his credibility.
Yeah.
He had the power to change the doctrine of religion.
He did. He did.
Yeah. Just like Luther broke away.
Correct.
And brought... What did he bring, the Methodist
He
or something?
Broke away from Catholicism, and he brought Lutheran.
Oh, he brought Lutheran Church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But Billy, you're right. Billy Graham had the opportunity later in his life. He failed because of the persecution
that
came upon him. And then he reverted right back into religion.
Yeah, the power.
Yeah.
He failed because of the power.
Yeah. Right.
And back then, 2,000 years ago, they had the power too. Enough power to actually crucify the one who was bringing the message.
Yeah. Yep.
And then that's what happened. Crucified Jesus.
Well, you figure, if you look at it this way, the Sadducees, the Jews, you know, the Pharisees, they didn't want to relinquish their power and their way of holiness and their self-righteousness because it was all in works and it was all in their prestige, and their head knowledge.
Their altars would have been torn down.
It would have been torn down, and they didn't want to give that up.
Yeah.
So they rather condemn and put to death, you know, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he was the forerunner of our faith today and the way that we accept righteousness with God.
Well, thank God for the abduction and the conversion.
Yeah.
But with that all being said, I believe that there's a chance for the gospel message to change and go to this message.
Yeah.
Whether we're the forerunners like Jesus was 2,000 years ago or what, but this is the truth.
Yeah.
And everyone should be seeking the kingdom of God first, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. But I want to
start with righteousness.
Yeah, I want to really elaborate on righteousness, because righteousness is Christ, and it's the righteousness of God.
Yep.
And our righteousness is like filthy rags
yep.
to God, but God's righteousness is pure. It's pure.
Yep. And it's involved
it's
with humility,
without sin.
Too.
And that's where the church was going, but they brought the man Jesus, him dying on the cross,
yep.
him connecting it with Christ, made it all whole back then, not in you, not in her, not in me, not in...
Right, because you know what? That gospel doesn't transform anybody because you're already believing that Jesus already was the one that was transformed, and we're just believing that he's the one that needs to transform, and nobody else does.
Your kingdom is suffering.
It's suffering, correct. And there's no way out of it.
And everybody's kingdom can't suffer. It can't. We, each and every one of us, make up heaven.
Yep.
When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. We got to get out of our small-minded thinking, and we have to think bigger, that we're all connected. And that's why it's so important for all of us to protect the kingdom of God.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because the Apostle Paul said it best. He said, everybody is responsible for a sphere. The sphere is inside of you. It's the kingdom of God, you know, and we're responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because God even said, who's going to make me a tabernacle that I can dwell in?
That's it.
And that's everybody's responsibility, because that's how if we're all responsible for ourselves and we conduct ourselves and seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness and then his peace and his joy, look, we're giving the glory right back to him.
That's it. And that's really the purpose that God is looking for. You know, no matter what you obtained on earth, no matter what you did, this is like a salvation call, and I hope and pray that maybe it goes out. But no matter what you did and no matter what happened in your past, today's a new day to start over. And literally embrace the righteousness. Take guilt away from your life. Take shame away from your life. And get rid of the condemnation that's around you.
Yeah.
And embrace that with all your heart, soul, and mind. What you have done is you just put Christ in your heart.
Righteousness. The true righteousness, not self-righteousness.
Now I can, now we can lead you,
yep.
but we can't put that in you. You have to do it yourself.
Amen.
Amen. So let's give the Lord a hand of praise.